It's been said the doors to the church are always open. Today on Maranatha Radio, Pastor Ray Bentley points out how newcomers are always welcome.
The idea of the church was to be this fellowship of friends who so passionately loved one another that they're not just all introverted in this hidden inner circle. You need that kind of acceptance. You need mercy. Man, you want to be in this family of love? Come on in. The door is open.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Christianity is exclusive. Jesus said no one comes to the Father but through Him. That's exclusive. And yet it's inviting. No one is turned away. And today Pastor Ray shows us what the body of Christ offers to those who haven't tasted of that special form of fellowship. Here's Pastor Ray to begin our study.
We are going to cover the entire third chapter of 1 Thessalonians. It's not a lot of doctrine per se or teaching, but it's very personal, and the message is about friendship, what friendships are for. And Paul is going to be sharing in this letter and in this third chapter about his love and care for the church in Thessaloniki, Greece, and giving to them his best friend, which happens to be a young man named Timothy. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Paul writes, "Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith." Paul here is sharing about his concern for the church in Thessaloniki. Now, I have had the privilege of going to Thessaloniki and to Greece, so this is not just a city like many cities in the New Testament that no longer exist in the modern world. Thessaloniki, Greece, is a modern city of modern Greece. There, we have brothers and sisters there today that are part of our church family that got started 2,000 years ago. And it's beautiful for situation. Greece, you know, there are those places that you go and you've seen the beautiful postcards. Here's one of those places you go, and when you see it with your own eyes, you go, the reality is better than the postcards. The postcards cannot capture the beauty of the ocean in that area, the depth of the blue, the white houses with their blue doors on the various islands, and it's just absolutely beautiful for a situation. Well, Paul had been there, and he started this church. He had gone, as he normally would, he went to the synagogue of the city. Being Jewish himself, being a rabbi, and now having come to faith in Jesus as the Messiah, he went to his Jewish brothers and sisters and shared with them for three Sabbaths about, "I have seen the Messiah. His name is Jesus, Yeshua in Hebrew. He's the one that we have waited for. He is the one that was prophesied. And let me tell you about him. And let me tell you my story and my testimony. I didn't believe in him. I'd heard about him and his miracles and following and teachings, but he didn't come, and let me share with you, the Messiah didn't come the way exactly we thought he would come. God surprised us, as he often does. And we missed it, at least for a while, as we often do. Because God is mysterious, his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. He is so other and so different from us. And he tells us what he's going to do, and he gave to us a portrait through the various prophecies. But we read into it our own image or our own desires, and oftentimes we don't really get it until after it happens, after it's fulfilled. Then we look back on it, and we go, that's what the Lord meant. So that's what the prophet was describing. So that's how the Messiah, who would come as the suffering servant, and the whole story of the crucifixion and laying down his life and Father, forgive them, and the resurrection, that's how it all came together. So Paul shared with them that I didn't believe in him until I was on the road to Damascus. I am a rabbi. I am a Pharisee. There is nobody more zealous in being a fulfiller of the law of Moses than me. In my own estimation, as pertaining to the law of Moses, I was blameless. And I was so opposed to Jesus and his followers that I oppressed them. I persecuted them, I followed them, I imprisoned them if I could. To me, it was a cult. Jesus was a false prophet. And I was so aggressive about it and so religiously zealous about it that I actually went to Jerusalem. I got papers and authority from our leaders there and was taking it out of country, out of Israel, to Syria. And while I was on my way to Damascus to chase and to pursue Jews who were fleeing people like me, I was struck to the ground and I saw the glory of God. I saw the Shekinah that we read about in the scriptures. I saw it and a voice spoke to me and said, "This is Jesus of Nazareth whom you are persecuting." And I have not been the same since. And he said, "I have called you, and I will show you what great things, Paul, you must suffer as you now go and proclaim." And now this guy's life is filled with miracles. I mean, Paul was a very special, there are not very many, there are a few that had that kind of dramatic life, Peter, of course, and John and some of the other early apostles, but angels visited him, dreams, visions, revelations, the supernatural happened around him throughout his life. And now here, with that though, the Lord said, "Because I'm going to give you all of that, you're going to suffer greatly, Paul, because there is all of a sudden now in the spiritual warfare between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven and Satan and his demonic hordes, his kingdom of darkness, you are now on the front lines of that spiritual battle. There is a bullseye that is on your back. And Satan will, if you know the book of Job, you know what Satan, how he wanted Job to destroy his faith and to prove that he didn't really love God. Well, you're going to enter into the same kinds of trials. You will be harassed." And Paul would go to places and he would, the hatred that would be spewed out of people's hearts and mouths toward him. Paul, everywhere he went, every city he went, invariably, while there were a few that believed him and were transformed and convinced and convicted and their hearts were melted and they became part of the family, there was an equal intense opposition against him. But it wasn't just verbally. That would have been bad enough. But it would always make its way, whenever you have that kind of pent-up hatred, it always makes its way into some kind of physical, violent action. And Paul was the recipient again and again and again of being hit, of being beaten, of being tortured, and being abused. He writes in his own letters in the New Testament that there were many times he could have died and should have died, but God spared him. I've often said that if I had the privilege, if we had the privilege of somehow bringing the Apostle Paul down from heaven and he could come and walk here before you, the first thing that every one of us would be shocked and amazed at about his physical stature is, and you wouldn't need to say anything, you would just look and it would take your breath away, "Look at all the scars on that guy's face and neck and arms and back and legs. Wow. Lord, we're not worthy." That's what Hebrews 11 says about those who on the one hand have that special call of God and are given special divine blessing, favor, revelation, but who also, because of that very gifting, calling, and chosenness, suffer the greatest, fiercest opposition and attack. I say all of that only to share with you that Paul then had to leave after three Sabbaths being in Thessaloniki and planting the church of new believers. The mob mentality came, and then the violence followed, and his life was at stake. And so in the middle of the night, Paul had to flee just to be alive. He fled. Having left, being the compassionate, spiritual father, tender-hearted man that he was worried sick about this brand new church that had just been planted. And then he heard reports that there were those who had come in after Paul and started taking the little new fledgling disciples and stealing them away and saying that Paul's a liar and he's a false prophet. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He never had the vision of Jesus on the road to Damascus, and you need to come listen to us, and trying to steal them away. So it just tore his heart out. And because of the life that Paul lived, he had this friend, his best friend. He adopted him into his heart as his own son, Timothy, whom he had led to the Lord, who traveled with him wherever he was. And I don't think that we can appreciate how much Paul depended upon Timothy's friendship. But he was so worried about the Thessalonians and what they were experiencing that even though at great cost to himself, for being alone, for being afraid, for the attacks and whatever spiritual warfare that Satan's going to throw at him, he turned one day to Timothy and he said, "Timothy, my best friend, here we are on the front lines. Boy, do I need your encouragement and your prayers. And we've been beaten together. We've been thrown in prison together. But I've got to ask you to leave me here alone. I need you. I can't sleep until you go back to the Thessalonians and make sure they're okay. They need to see. I can't go back, but you can. Would you go for me?" And so that's what he's saying. Look again with me in verse 1. "Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith." I want to make this point, as I have here in your notes, the church, a fellowship of friends, the example being Paul and Timothy. I want to talk about friendship for just a couple of moments. We often speak about love as the church, as Christians, but now we come to the highest expression of love. Do you know what the highest expression of love is? In one word, friendship. If you have a pen or a pencil, I want you to write down the word friendship, and I want you to think about it during this week. Long ago, God wanted, we had left him, we had turned our backs upon him, we had abandoned him, left him alone in the Garden of Eden so that we could discover our own destiny, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God wanted fellowship, and he wanted to give us another chance and to forgive us, and he is desperate for a relationship. So we finally found a man 4,000 years ago who said, "Yes, Lord, I will receive your promise. I will receive your desire to bless me. I will receive the offer of relationship that you are now extending to me." And his name is Abraham, but Abraham has a nickname in the Bible, and he is the father of faith. Do you know what Abraham's nickname is? Abraham, the friend of God. The friend of God. Think for just a moment what that means, because in Abraham was Isaac and Jacob and then the 12 tribes and then the nation of Israel and ultimately the Messiah, and the Messiah who then birthed the church, which eventually was made up of both Jew and Gentile, which here we are now this morning. So in a sense, you could say that what God did with Abraham was the birth and the beginning and the picture of what God wanted for his church in the future to be. And I believe that what God desires is a friendship with us. It is not just words when you hear a pastor say that Christianity is not religious or it's not a religion per se. It is a relationship. And that you and I have the privilege of having a personal relationship with the living God. What's amazing to me is that God would consider Abraham a friend, and that he would even want a friendship with Abraham. And in wanting a friendship with Abraham, he wanted a friendship with all his descendants. Romans chapter 4 tells us that all of us who are now part of the modern church are inheritors of the same promise as Abraham. Have you ever thought about what it means that God wants to be your friend? He wants a friendship with you. Now, we know and often say that God loves everyone, but only a few, the Bible tells us, are actually his friends. In fact, being a friend of Jesus is actually a higher calling than being a disciple. You say, well, wait a second, isn't that the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations? Absolutely, that is. We are called to follow Jesus, and as a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple, where we get our word discipline from, and there are the disciplines of prayer and fasting and reading the word and how to share your faith and the doctrines of what we believe. Yes, we are disciples. But being a disciple is not the end. It is a means to something even greater. Having become a disciple and follower of Jesus is to lead me into a deep, personal, intimate relationship and friendship with the living God. Now, in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, we actually learn that the label Christian is what outsiders first called followers of Jesus. In other words, non-believers are the ones that came up with the name Christian in the first place. Jesus didn't look to his disciples and say, you're Christians. He never used that phrase or that word. It was up in Antioch that non-believers said, wow, they're like little Christs. That's what Christian means. They're going around loving people, healing people, speaking of grace and forgiveness and mercy in the kingdom of heaven. So that's the name they gave. But what is the name Jesus gave to us, who love him, follow him, and are, in fact, his disciples? His name for us is revealed in John chapter 15, verse 15. In John chapter 15, verse 15, this is what Jesus said to his disciples. He says, I have called you friends. I believe friendship was the great dream of Jesus for his church. Yes, it is the family of God and the royal family at that, because we are related by blood. It happens not to be our blood, but it happens to be the blood of the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords himself, that runs now through us and knits us together in this eternal royal family where we are eternally now related and brothers and sisters. But the Lord wanted to create a fellowship of friends such as the world had never known. The world, when sin came in, and to me, this is the most obvious thing in the world. You know, sometimes the world, they say, well, what is this sin? I don't believe in sin or whatever. It's so obvious what sin is. Sin means separation. That's what sin means. Sin separates men and women from God. Sin separates men and women from each other. Sin separates, it divides people. Hello, look at the world. What do we see going on? It's not exactly one big happy family, because that's sin. It is sin that divides and that wars and that separates and it's all broken up. Jesus desired to create a fellowship then of healing through his redemption, of friends who would be so loving and so inviting and so caring and so tender-hearted toward one another and so involved and entangled with one another's lives and concerns and dreams and desires and so personal and so intimate and so full of love, that anybody who saw this fellowship of friends and the way they loved one another and treated one another would be provoked, very naturally, with jealousy. Say, man, I wish I had somebody to love me like that. I wish I had somebody that cared about me like that. I had somebody that even noticed I was alive and looked at me the way you guys look at one another. And the idea of the church was to be this fellowship of friends who so passionately loved one another that they're not just all introverted in this hidden inner circle, but as the song that we used to sing in the Jesus People days, with one hand we're holding on to the Lord, and with the other hand we're reaching out inside to the world to bring you in. Man, you want to be in this family of love? Come on in. The door is open. You need that kind of acceptance. You need grace. You need mercy. You feel broken inside. You have been ruined by the separation of sin between you and God and you and your family and you and yourself. Come on in. That's what God desired. That's what Jesus desired. And that's exactly what he said in John chapter 13, 35. Then all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. He didn't say, then they'll know you're my disciples if you have all the doctrines memorized. They'll know you're my disciples if you can win every argument of opposition brought against what you believe. He didn't say that. Then all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, what's interesting is Jesus himself did not accomplish what he did alone. Now, yes, it is true that he died on the cross for us and could only do that alone and was buried and rose for us alone. But his ministry was not alone. What he did in salvation, yes, he uniquely did for us as God manifests in the flesh. But even 3 years before he went to the cross, he didn't come down and just do it all alone. He chose and prayed all night long for 12 that would follow him as disciples, whom later he would say, now you're my friends. And then he left. And he said, I give you now the ministry. Go, share the gospel with the whole world. He wants to work with us. He wants a partnership. He wants a relationship. He desires a friendship. Jesus chose to work with friends. So now we find the Apostle Paul himself, with all his dreams and revelations and everything else, saying, my best friend, my brother Timothy, that I can hardly stand thinking of being alone and fighting the devil and whatever else there may be without him, but you need him more than me. There's that friendship again. There's that love and there's that caring.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with a biblical glimpse at the friendship and fellowship that make up the body of Christ. And Pastor Ray will have more next time here on Maranatha Radio. Now, today's broadcast is available on CD for just $7. Get in touch and ask for the message called, What Friends Are For? And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 1 Thessalonians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. And I recently read a review, and it said, the book leaves you wanting more. This person spoke of how captivating it is to go behind the scenes in biblical prophecy. They said they were stunned.
You know, that was my personal experience. You know, after studying the Bible and knowing generally about prophecy for many years, God began to open up whole new layers of understanding of the past, of the biblical feasts, and of their relevance to the church today. And I was on fire, excited. I couldn't wait to write the book. And it's really exciting to see people reading it and seeing what I've seen, learning what I learned, and then getting on fire. And that's why I can't wait for people to read it and to learn these new things. I think it's going to really change their perspective and open their eyes in some ways they can't even imagine.
And this will reveal what we see reported in the news every day in a whole new light, won't it?
It will. I think that it puts an exclamation point on the things that we keep getting jolted by as we watch what's happening. These are the very signs and patterns that Jesus said are indications the kingdom is on its way.
All right. We'll find out more in Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at maranatharadio.com.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 1 Thessalonians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.